For those of you who were not in worship with us last Sunday, we have embarked on a six-part sermon series for Lent based on Victor Hugo's historic novel, Les Miserables. By the way, if this series of sermons piques your interest and you happen to miss one of the six, you can listen to it on the chapel's website. Just click on Service Audios and the date of the one that you missed, and you can catch up. Last week, we met the main character of Les Miserables, Jean Valjean, and we explored the concept of grace. We talked about grace given, and we also spoke of how grace is received. We acknowledge that we have been the recipient of God's grace through Christ, and we also admitted the difficulties of receiving grace and receiving it well, so that we are transformed by it and led by the Holy Spirit to extend that gift of love, forgiveness, and grace to other people. Last week, we also met Javert, who was Valjean's prison guard, and later in the story, a police inspector with an obsession to recapture Valjean and return him to prison for breaking his parole. In the character of Javert, we meet someone who represents justice. And it is that concept that we want to explore today as we ask ourselves these questions. What happens when grace and justice collide? Are they mutually exclusive? Can they coexist in the same space at the same time? Are grace and justice opposites, or do they complement each other? Is it possible for our God to be a God of grace and a God of justice? These are difficult questions. So before we begin, let us pray. O Holy Spirit, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and minds to know and lives to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, all to the glory of God our Father. Amen. In the book, The Grace of Les Miserables by Matt Rowell, Matt points out that in 1 John, we learn that God is love. And the way that we experience that love is through grace. Yet the prophet Amos speaks of God's law given to Moses where justice rolls down like waters. And Matt asks the question, what does it look like for grace and justice to occupy the same place at the same time? Our Bible study group last Monday morning came up with a modern example of what we're exploring today. I think you'll remember this. This is indeed a collision of justice and grace. You'll remember about 2 years ago, a Dallas police officer, Amber Geyer, entered the wrong apartment by mistake. Thinking that she was home and finding a man present, a man who actually lived in the apartment, as he approached her, certainly wanting to know what she was doing in his apartment, in fear of her life, she fired her weapon and she killed Botham Jean. It only took the jury last fall 5 hours to find her guilty of murder. At her sentencing trial, Botham Jean's 18-year-old brother, Brant, asked the judge if he could give Amber a hug. Amber and Brant embraced in the very middle of that courtroom, and to her he spoke words of forgiveness. Amber was sentenced to 10 years in prison. Justice was done. But in that embrace, justice and grace collided. Inevitably, our author, Matt Rawl, looks at one of our scriptures this morning, Psalm 30, and comments that the psalmist seems to believe that God's anger is God's expression of justice, and God's favor is the ultimate expression of God's grace. So when we hear the words, God's anger, God's justice is but for a moment, but his favor, God's grace, is for a lifetime, we would then see that grace and justice coexist in God. Admittedly, it also suggests a bias toward grace, but still, both justice and grace are attributes of our God. but not so for Javert. Victor Hugo tells us that Javert's mind is like a modern-day computer. Just give me the facts. Javert is cold and calculating and precise. He is unwavering in his adherence to the law and to justice being served. Javert's life is one of order, one of consistency, one of predictability. Now, order and rules are not bad things. In fact, Javert picks up, as he's trying to explain this, he picks up on the creation story. God's creating order out of chaos. In Genesis we hear, "And God made the dome and called the dome sky. And God said, let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate day from night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God saw that it was good." So Javert, trying to make this point of order out of chaos, sings, "Stars in your multitude, scarce to be counted, filling the darkness with order and light. You are the sentinels, silent and sure, keeping watch in the night, keeping watch in the night. You know your place in the sky, you hold your course and your aim, and each in your seasons returns and returns, and is always the same. And if you fall as Lucifer fell, you fall in flames. And so it must be, for so it is written, on the doorway to paradise, that those who falter and those who fall must pay the price." Do you get it? Everything's got to be orderly. In Javert's world, everything has to be the same, season after season. Good people do good things. Bad people read the sign on the doorway to paradise and realize that they must pay the price. This is Javert's world. For Javert, there's no room for ambiguity. Javert would embrace the sentiments about appropriate justice in our reading from Leviticus this morning. Hard for us to swallow. Javert would embrace it. Anyone who injures their neighbor is to be injured in the same manner. Fracture for fracture. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. The one who has inflicted the injury must suffer the same injury. This makes sense to Javert. He would accept this as universal truth for all time without any hesitation. For Javert, there's no room for flexibility. Jesus is on his way to heal the daughter of Jairus, but stops to heal a woman who's been hemorrhaging for 12 years. Jesus knows his duty. He knows the right thing to do, to hurry to Jairus' daughter before she dies from her illness. But Jesus is flexible enough to take time to offer the gift of grace to the desperate woman. Javert would have believed that the only just thing to do was to go directly to the girl. First in line, first serve. We got to have some order around here. But Javert would have completely missed the opportunity to give the gift of grace to the bleeding woman. For Javert, there's no room for compromise. No room for questions. No room for yielding to the spirit of the law when one can simply follow the letter of the law. There's no kindness in him. No compassion. No room for grace. Only the pursuit of justice. Javert would have had no qualms about accepting Jesus' proposal to offer justice to the woman caught in adultery. He would have cast the first stone and as many others as it took to end her life. Javert is all about justice. The story of Les Miserables is really the story of Jean Valjean and his experience of receiving the gift of grace from the village priest, Monseigneur Bienvenu, and how he receives that gift of a second chance to become not only an honest man, but a generous, merciful, loving man, a self-sacrificing man, a man who lives for others. But it's also the story of his pursuit by Javert, who is so obsessed with Valjean's capture that he cannot see the transformation in Valjean's life. To Javert, there is no rehabilitation for criminals. Once a thief, always a thief. Good cannot come from one who has done evil. There are good people who live in God's favor and bad people who live in God's anger. The good will receive their reward and the bad will receive their punishment, and it is Javert's job to provide that punishment here on earth, and Javert relies on God to provide that punishment for eternity. But later in the story, Javert is discovered to be a spy and is held hostage by the rebels fighting the government in Paris during the French Revolution. When it becomes obvious that the revolution will end in defeat, the leader of the rebels orders Javert, the spy, to be executed. Valjean volunteers for the job. But out of sight of the rebels, Valjean fakes the execution of Javert and sets him free. Javert cannot understand the grace offered by Valjean. He cannot wrap his mind around such a thing. He begs Valjean to exact his revenge on him, to kill him, but Valjean refuses. This simply does not compute in Javert's mind. If Valjean is capable of forgiveness and grace, then Javert's worldview must be completely wrong. Redemption is possible. People are capable of transformation. Those that have done evil, once they have experienced grace, can come down on the side of good. And Javert cannot grasp this. Javert cannot live with this. And must I now begin to doubt? Who never doubted all these years? My heart is stone and still it trembles. The world I have known is lost in shadow. Is Valjean from heaven or from hell? And does he know that granting me my life today, this man has killed me? Even so, I am reaching, but I fall, and the stars are black and cold. As I stare into the void of a world that cannot hold, I'll escape now from this world, from the world of Jean Valjean. There is nowhere I can go. There is no way to go on. The only way Javert can achieve balance again, the only way he can find peace, is to climb to the top of a bridge and end his life as he casts himself over the railing into the Seine River to his death. Last week, our story was about Valjean and how he received grace well and was transformed into the giver of the gift of grace to others. This week, Javert's story tells us of the difficulty we have when we experience grace and justice on a collision course with one another. Javert's story reveals the danger of being too obsessed with justice, so obsessed that we reject grace. During this Lenten season, we're on a journey to the ultimate expression of God's grace and justice colliding in the same space at the same time. The cross is where grace and justice collide in the person of Jesus Christ. It is on Calvary that God passes judgment on sin, revealing that sin leads to death. But there is grace because God in the flesh loves us so much that Jesus sacrificially acts to forgive us of our sin. For Brant Jong, grace and justice complement one another. For Police Inspector Javert, grace and justice can never occupy the same space and time. For Javert, grace is just foolishness. And it only destroys the order and predictability that humankind needs to survive. For God, grace is wisdom. And grace is righteousness. And not only allows God's children to survive, but gives us the hope of abundance in this life and the assurance that we will share in God's glory in the life to come. If Pope Benedict XVI will forgive me for paraphrasing his words, Lent is a journey. It means accompanying Jesus as he travels to Jerusalem, the place where grace and justice will collide, the place where the mystery of his passion, death, and resurrection is to be fulfilled. Lent reminds us that Christian life is a road, the Pope says, a road to be traveled, consisting not so much of justice, not so much in the law to be observed, as in the grace that we find in Jesus, who must be encountered and welcomed and followed. Thanks be to God. Amen.